I'm Jason Klom, and this is the Comedy on Vinyl podcast. The year is 1960. The album, The Button-Down Mind, Strikes Back, the artist Bob Newhart. My guest is Ahmed Barucha. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me.
So, why did you pick Bob Newhart? Let's start there.
He's just one of my favorites. I really love how he can do so much with so little. Mm-hmm. You know, I love the one-sided conversations and how he kind of almost lets the audience say the punchline to themselves in their head, which I love that.
Yeah, those pauses really let you just do what you want with it.
Yeah, his timing is great. He kind of lets everyone discover it together.
Mm-hmm.
It's great.
God, that's a good point. Yeah, I haven't ever heard anybody. Is there anybody, so you're stand-up, is there anybody you know of who's maybe not doing this necessarily, but doing something a little more conceptual like this that you can think of?
I don't know. I think it's like a very, like it's ahead of its time and yet like kind of feels old. I don't know
if anyone could
do that anymore.
Right. Yeah.
And I was listening to it, it sounds almost like it maybe could be considered alt-y.
For sure.
Like, you know, he's doing kind of a lot of weird things for I would think the 60s.
Absolutely. Like him and Shelley Berman and some other folks, they like to call them sick comics because they're like a little darker and weirder. And I mean, there's definitely some fucking dark shit on here, like all about a jumper.
Yeah, the guy kills himself at the end. That's how he closes.
And I think Shelley Berman's actually got a very similar bit on one of his albums too, which is so weird that they're both kind of either clicking or Shelley
Berman. Yeah, it seems like you wouldn't think dark from him, you know, and especially now looking back on him, he's just kind of a stammering, quiet guy. Seems kind of cute.
Right, yeah, yeah. And like, I think a lot of us, too, associate him with his sitcoms.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, and which...
Or like Elf or...
For sure. Well, of course. Yeah. When did you first hear Bob Newhart? Did you grow up with him on TV? Like, what's your...
I think that... I probably was introduced to him on Nick at Night from his show. I used to watch that a lot. That was probably one of the first... I used to watch a lot of Nick at Night as a kid. And that maybe was one of the first shows I really got obsessed with.
The 70s one? The original one?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah, I love that.
It's still a good show. It's still so good.
Yeah, I got to rewatch it. I haven't really seen it since.
Yeah.
Since I watched it the first
time. I have the first four on DVD or something, and it's just so much fun to watch. Like, see how well they hold up. There's a great bit that actually is perfect for this because he's super drunk on one of the episodes and it's one of my favorite it's just one of my favorite things of all time. He's just this weird, I don't like to say that anybody's a natural comic. Obviously he had a skill built from somewhere, but
for sure.
The first album he did, which if I'm not mistaken was the same year, he was his first time on stage.
Yeah, it's
what
bizarre.
What the fuck is that? What the fuck?
It just kind of seems so easy for him. He just kind of chill, doesn't do much, doesn't sing and dance or anything.
Right.
Stammers the same kind of rhythm.
What kind of an experiment would it be to like take a group of like 10 comics and be like, oh, you want to get up and do stand-up? Cool. We're going to record your first night and turn it into an album. Like, does that become?
Yeah.
Besides, like, probably super sexist, racist, and other garbage. Like, that's so... People default to that shit so much. How old were you when you started stand-up? Like, what was your stand-up like compared to now?
I was 20 years old.
Okay.
And I'd say it was kind of all over the place a little bit. I tried to do some one-liner stuff. I tried to do weird stuff. I tried to tell stories and kind of did everything and a little awkward, a lot of, act outs, I still kind of do that. But yeah, I mean, he was definitely a big influence. Chris Rock was a big influence.
Awesome, sure.
So I think I kind of tried to be like him, maybe Dave Chappelle too. Those were big influences at the time.
Is it in terms of energy, in terms of like joke formats or something specific?
I feel like with Chris Rock, I really liked how he could talk about political issues, but he never seemed to be too preachy about it.
For
sure. It was very silly.
Mm-hmm.
Like he would, you know, maybe talk about like... people starving in Africa, but it was like a really goofy way of talking about it. I loved that mix of goofy yet trying to say something.
Right.
And then with like Dave Chappelle, I really loved the act outs, kind of the becoming the weird character. And and then like Bob Newhart, I loved that he could, you didn't have to do that stuff, just kind of stood there and kind of just said something quietly.
Mm-hmm.
I liked that.
Yeah, I mean, the dream is to like be able to possess an audience, right? Yeah, to just stand up there and like the fact that he could do. I mean, I love how much I can picture. He's an underrated actor because you can even hear how good of an actor he is.
Yeah, for sure.
Like to fake a laugh as many times as he does, and he probably did it every night. How the fuck do you do that? Like I act, I don't know that I could do that convincingly every night. Yeah. You know?
Yeah, and he puts so much images in your brain. Mm-hmm. I feel like during a set, I kind of realized that again listening to it. I was like, oh, he even though he's still and calm, he's kind of putting these really silly cartoonish images, like with the in the album with like the bus driver kind of putting on the brakes and the person spinning up to the front and spinning down to the back. And it's kind of funny to me how he is not really, you know, jumping around or anything,
right?
But you're still picturing this crazy like movement.
It's interesting too, because a lot of stand-ups that I love will be like, because nowadays is a thing where you can be very personal. Mm-hmm. I mean, like I think the first thing I saw that you did was about religion. So like it's straight up just like, I'm going to talk about religion, how I feel about religion. That's super personal. So you've got to find a way where people can relate and, I don't know, somehow picture your life. I'm wording it poorly, for sure. But he has the bonus is like, I'm just going to pick shit everybody knows.
Yeah.
And that's just it. Like an image that pops up in your head, you populate it immediately. You're with him the whole way.
Yeah.
And there's got to be a challenge then to do that same thing, because he doesn't get personal, with your own stuff. Like, do you know what your method has been to find that?
I don't know. I always have a hard time figuring out how I've done anything.
Yeah, that's
like
fine. Someone,
like my wife will be like, well, how did you write that joke? I don't know how I wrote that joke. Mm-hmm. It just came into my head and I said it right the first time.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Maybe added on to it as I went.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I do have a heart. Like, especially now, I feel like it can be very, very like politically charged.
And, sure.
And I always kind of liked talking about politics, but I never really wanted it to take center focus.
Sure.
Especially you go on the road and. And there's so many different kinds of people that you don't want to just like immediately be like, hey, if you don't think what I think, you're dumb.
Yeah.
So it is kind of hard to, well, but actually it does help being who I am, because my mom's Catholic, my dad's Muslim. Mm-hmm. I'm kind of this odd creature that is maybe allowed to get away with a little bit more of poking fun at things.
Sure.
Because I can kind of couch everything in my point of view.
Yeah.
It's like, well, I came up in this mixed environment, so I'm just telling you what my point of view is.
Mm-hmm.
Rather than if I was exactly like them, then if we disagreed, they'd be like, well, I know who you are.
And yeah.
I don't like the way you think.
Right. Yeah, no, that's a really good point.
I'm kind of a different thing, and here's what I think.
Sure.
And I try not to shove it down their throat too much.
Yeah.
And kind of like to back into it almost.
For sure. Yeah, because I think there's a lot of... and I don't want to generalize about audiences, but if you're going to go to an audience that might be less open-minded, I feel like having the advantage of a disparity like that that you're born into, rather than a disparity of choice, I guess, where like you're just saying, if like I went in, I'm an atheist, and I went in and I said, you know, I recently converted to Christianity, they're going to instantly not trust me.
For sure.
You've got an experience with two worlds inherently.
Yeah.
That people
and
can
I,
play
yeah,
with.
And I kind of the way one way I try to do with the religion is I like to kind of make fun of maybe me a little bit, and like actually lately I have like a newish joke about how I don't think I'm an atheist, which I to me now is this perfect way to get into religion,
because
I poke fun of atheists and then they laugh at it, so now I get to poke fun at other religions. And it's almost like they're like, well, we let him, you know, we laughed at that. We kind of have to laugh when he's pointing it in the other direction.
Right.
And before I had a lot of jokes about Catholicism and didn't have that opening kind of like softball for them.
Okay.
And so now it's kind of, I used to kind of not do the religious stuff on the road, but now because of that, it kind of opens it up to them.
Yeah.
Where it's like a softball, like, hey, I don't know what I am.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't this all kind of silly?
Right.
Now this thing's silly. They're like, well, okay, fair game.
For sure. Yeah, and it honestly, it takes some guts, because I've seen comics who, like, in relatively conservative areas come up on stage, and, like, a lady who's a trans comic did this whole thing where she was pulling people in who are, like, fucking sick of these Trump jokes yeah. the comics before her were making, yeah. but they were so on board with her.
Yeah.
Whatever she did
yep.
sucked them in to a life experience they can't understand.
Yeah.
And I don't get it because I don't do stand-up. Uh-huh. There's a I don't want to say there's a magic there, but there's something there I can't pay.
There is, yeah.
You know?
I think it is magical.
Yeah, it is. Because, like, you're immediately... I mean, I was like... oh, Jesus Christ, I need to, like, release her first album before anybody else does. yeah. Like, if you see somebody who sucks the whole audience in,
yeah.
there's something there. They have potential.
I'm so jealous of that. Yeah.
Right? Well, I mean, again, you've at least, you know yeah. what you've got about you that mm-hmm. you can use.
Exactly.
And yeah. I like that you have the opportunity that you can keep growing on it. Do you, is there, have you ever had, like, an audience experience that completely changes a joke? Is it that simple, or is it, like, I need a bunch of audiences?
It's a bunch. For yeah? me, yeah. I think, especially a lot of times, I can jump to conclusions pretty early if mm-hmm. a joke doesn't go well. Like, wow, they're closed-minded.
Sure,
or,
sure.
Oh, they don't like jokes about religion.
Mm-hmm.
But it's kind of funny when you do a joke that's not controversial mm-hmm. and it doesn't get a laugh. You don't get that. You don't get to, you know, fall back on that. Mm-hmm. Wow, these people are uptight.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of times I think you can, in your head, you're kind of sensitive about them being sensitive about it.
Yeah.
So you just kind of blame them. Oh, they don't like it because they don't agree with me
mm-hmm.
rather than, oh, maybe this joke's not like working right regardless.
Yeah.
So I actually, when I started in Rhode Island
mm-hmm.
and about 3 years in, I found Boston, which was a lot more kind of, even though Rhode Island's a relatively like liberal state,
sure.
the comedy scene was a little bit more like blue collar, a little bit more like kind of meat and potatoes. And I started going up to Boston and I started kind of, that's when I would kind of try out those religion jokes and just more social commentary that seemed to go over well there. And then mm-hmm. I would come back to Rhode Island and it wouldn't really go well.
Yeah.
And I think early on I just, you know, wrote it off as, well, they don't want to hear this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think as I got a little bit more skilled and a little bit more confident, I would come back and try it again and it would work. And I kind of realized that I have to be confident with it. Mm-hmm. If they do have hesitation about this material, I have to not show that I'm nervous too, because
sure.
if you're nervous and they're nervous, it's not going to work.
Yeah.
But then it's also just the structure of the joke, just like the homework of the joke, rather than blaming it on just the idea.
Yeah.
It's like, did I set it up properly? Did I give them time to get on my side?
Mm-hmm.
Whatever. You know, like, even Chris Rock kind of, one time I think he had a great breakdown of why jokes don't work, and it's usually the setup.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so a lot of times I'm blaming the punchline. Oh, you don't want me to mm-hmm. make fun of religion. It's like, oh no, maybe I didn't explain it better.
Yeah. That gives you a lot of, there's a lot of responsibility then too in, like, just to take that further, in the setup of your entire set too, because mm-hmm. you're establishing who you are,
yeah.
or at least trying to.
Yeah, I think so.
So then can a whole set fail on like a simple setup, do you
yeah.
think?
Yeah. Maybe, yeah. I think sometimes you can have a set where you come off weird in the beginning mm-hmm. and you just lose them and they're
yeah.
just like, I don't like this guy.
Yep. I've been to those shows. I've yeah. seen that shit and I'm like, yeah. oh, I feel bad, but like, you lost me.
That's a great thing too, is like just placement in the set.
Mm-hmm.
Like early on, it's kind of where I went when I had that joke about atheists.
Mm-hmm.
It really helped me realize, like, oh, I can get away with more if I just put it in this order.
Mm-hmm.
If I don't open with, you guys are dumb. You know? I can say, call them dumb 5 minutes in.
For sure. Yeah. 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 Bob Newhart is not a guy, again, this is not an era of being super personal.
Yeah.
But there is an element of, like, we know the darkness in his brain, so that's the personal part
yeah.
that gets pulled out. Like, when you listen to this, if you experience him first in a sitcom and then you listen to this, like, what changes about your perception of Bob Newhart when you hear this album, if any?
Well, I guess in the show, he, you know, he plays the straight man, which he does kind of in this too.
Yep.
But he's in the stand-up, he's creating everything. So he is mm-hmm. part of the other side of the conversation too.
Mm-hmm.
Even though he's not saying that stuff,
yeah,
he's putting it out there. You know, in the show, these kind of more wacky characters or, you know, crazy people, and he's just reacting to it. But mm-hmm. in the stand-up, he's kind of giving you all the information.
Yeah.
So I think that is the insight, the darkness, like the, yeah, I don't know, the kind of, you see a little bit more of who he is in the stand-up than in the show.
For sure. I really love, I'm going to probably keep going back to the jumper bit, but like
yeah,
when he's just talking about like, he's just saying, well, imagine, you know, okay, they say that, you know, yeah, the Chicago police have this new policy and you have to basically don't show any empathy because they actually kind of want to be talked down. So imagine a guy puts on a blazer, lights up a cigarette, hops out on the legend. Oh, hi! Like,
yeah, that what a great
such
opener.
A great opener. Yeah. Good God, it's perfect.
It's like making such lightheartedness of this grave situation. Mm-hmm. It's so fun.
There's so much to be learned in the acting, too. Like,
yeah.
I don't want to ever downplay that. I don't get how he's, because he has no acting training.
Yeah.
So, like, he could be delivering these and be shit. Mm-hmm. It's all so much about perfect delivery.
Yeah, and he wouldn't be able to get away with it because he does say so little.
Mm-hmm.
That you have to immediately know what he means,
mm-hmm.
just by, like, oh, he had us up last night,
mm-hmm.
and everyone's on board because of the way he said it.
Yeah. It's He's, great. Like, got this weird, like, a thing that maybe you don't see as much was just, like, a quote-unquote old-fashioned storyteller.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, he was a dude telling stories at parties, mm-hmm. doing these bits at parties, which is, maybe that happens sometimes now where you're telling stories at parties, somebody's like, you should be a comic, and you get up and you're great. I don't know if that shit happens anymore. But, I mean, now
pretty
it's
pretty rare,
Right. Well, it's an industry now, mm-hmm. too,
mm-hmm.
which means the competition is different.
Yeah.
You know, the argument is, oh, maybe there's a secret Bob Newhart who we'll never find out about because it's too competitive.
Yeah, yeah.
What... I don't understand the competitive part of stand-up, so I'm mm-hmm. wondering what it is like for you and why you continue to keep fucking doing it with that kind of competition.
It is very competitive, and I think as I get older, I try to kind of step back from that a little bit. I mean, it can help that it's competitive because it motivates you to be funnier and work as hard as the people that you're inspired by. Like,
sure.
I think when I moved to LA, that was a great... Part of it was, I want to be around people that I think are really funny, and then being around them makes me want to be really funny.
Mm-hmm.
So it definitely, the competitive is a good part in motivation,
mm-hmm.
but I think it can also be a distraction in that it's not, it feels like a competition, and it kind of is a competition because everyone's competing for these spots on TV.
Sure.
But in reality, it's not at all. It's everyone's just doing their own thing. So being kind of, I try to train myself to think of it that way, where it's, I'm just painting my own picture.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes maybe I could get this picture in an art show and that artist won't. But really, we're just painting a picture. This is my picture.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to keep painting my picture. I'm going to paint the next picture. And I just should be really focused on competing with myself, maybe. Like, is my painting better than last time?
Right.
Rather than kind of looking at the other guy like, oh, well, his painting stinks. I don't know why his painting got in the art show. Like, my painting's better than that.
Mm-hmm. You know?
So yeah, I think it can be, this is a very singular thing.
Mm-hmm.
So it kind of is a natural, in the beginning, there's a lot of competitions.
Yeah.
So you're almost thrust into this competitive thing.
Mm-hmm.
But then as you get older, I think, and move on from the competitions, it kind of becomes less that.
Yeah.
And it's, there's plenty of room for everyone, you know, and I think if someone gets a thing that you don't get, it's not really them taking something away from you.
Right.
Just look for another thing.
Yeah. There's a lot of room in the gallery,
yeah.
You know, like there's nobody goes to a gallery to see one fucking, unless it's Banksy.
Yeah.
And then he shreds his shit. Yeah. So, you know, that's a recent reference for if you're listening to this 10 years in the future, provided we still exist. So you think, in your mind, the jumper one's your favorite bit on the whole thing?
I think so, yeah. I was trying to pick on the way over which was my favorite. The bus driver one is one I remember from forever ago.
For sure, I get that,
it's really digestible, really classic, kind of, you could show it to anyone from then till now and they would all get it.
Yep.
The jumper one I love because it's dark, but you kind of don't get the sense that it's dark.
Mm-hmm.
He's so sweet and kind of calm that you don't kind of notice that he's making fun of suicide.
Right.
And then I do like the first bit with the computer stuff. I think that one kind of feels a little alty, like he's doing like a computer talking to a computer back in the 60s.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it seems kind of fun. He kind of makes fun of the war and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
I like that.
Yeah.
So those are maybe the... And also, then I actually like all the bits, but
sure.
I really liked the monkeys one because it's so short. And
yeah.
I feel like all his bits are these long pieces.
Yeah, they are.
It was
kind
of fun to see this 1.5 minute bit that was just a lead up to one punchline. I thought it was great.
I love, and again, it's an acting thing. I really like the retirement party because I guess I didn't see it coming.
Yeah, that one is probably the best performance.
You know, and he's a guy who can play drunk better than most people because that's a fucking skill still.
Yeah. He just turns it right on.
Exactly.
He's just immediately smashed.
Just there's so much about embezzling.
And then he kept saying stoned, and
yes.
I'm guessing back then that just meant drunk.
Yeah, because so did High. High okay. is all, there's an old. Yeah. I remember watching an old Rocky and Bullwinkle, and the joke was, "I'm high over Cincinnati," and the guy was supposed to be drunk in an airplane. And I'm like, "Mom, he said high. It meant drunk, idiot." I'm like, "Okay, good to know. Good to know." I kind of like it. I like listening to these old albums for that kind of shit too.
Yeah,
every once in a while, there's just
and there was one reference in the whole thing that I didn't get was mm-hmm. about like the ad. He said like there was another ad guy around the corner and he had some account.
The Edsel.
Yeah, I was going to Google that.
That was Ford's most biggest failure at the time. Edsel Ford was Henry Ford's son. He created his own car or it was a car named after him, but it was a massive failure.
Wow.
And like that was just timely enough because nobody was fucking buying them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought that was cool because it was the only thing I didn't get, which was kind of cool that the rest of the album was like, I know everything that he's talking about.
Yeah, for an almost 60-year-old album. Yeah, that's pretty good. That's so weird that it holds up. And again, I don't know if it's a matter of maybe in 30 years it won't. I don't know. Mm-hmm. But like, what's keeping it? What's the glue for it for you?
I think I really appreciate a lot of old comedy. And I think, I don't know, there's something that's like universal about it and simple. Mm-hmm. Sometimes the simple stuff, like you watch like Buster Keaton or Charlie mm-hmm. Chaplin, and they just, you know, they boil down kind of a situation, mm-hmm. you know, a moment that we've all kind of had,
yeah,
and kind of just execute it perfectly,
mm-hmm.
like which I think he does. You know, he's not talking about these really hard to grasp things, which I don't mind when people talk about that,
but
he kind of just hits this timeless thing that I think is what allows it to live on past its. Whenever it was said.
Sure.
Yeah, that's cool.
Is it as simple as, and I don't necessarily mean in straightforward terms of storytelling, like, is it as simple as, like, I you know, set up and punch and, like, I'm fucking slaughtering my thoughts right now. But there's storytelling to every joke.
Yeah.
So, I mean, is it as simple as, like, just they're very clear setups and very clear execution and you can picture what's going mm-hmm. on. I mean,
I think so. And I think that he's very clever.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that he's very sharp. So mm-hmm. those kind of, you know, if someone else back then had done the same topic,
mm-hmm.
it's still not maybe weird enough to still be funny later.
Yeah.
Maybe it'd just be too straightforward. Like he's balancing this really simple, basic topics, but still has this weird little. Something about his brain still tickles me today.
Mm-hmm.
Where I think a lot of times you go back to listen to old stand-up and it's lacking that part.
Yeah.
The oddness or something. So I don't know. It's a perfect balance of odd and universal.
Like, yeah,
I don't know how
he
does that.
Well, he's a perfect reaction to this time period where you were expected to be productive and that's it.
Yeah.
You know, he was legit an accountant before he started doing comedy. So that's a fucking gun in your mouth profession, at least in the 60s, right? And so he's like, somebody discovered, why would you not keep going? Like, clearly he wanted to do it.
Yeah.
Because he could have been one of those guys like, where like, you're really funny, you should do this. Nah, I don't do that. Because you always hear those stories.
Yeah, and back then it seemed even crazier of an idea. I'm gonna try to make money telling jokes.
Yeah, because the only guy doing that was like Red Fox was selling a ton of albums, but I'm guessing a white guy like Bob Newhart in the Midwest maybe didn't even know who Red Fox was. I don't know.
Sure.
Sorry, Bob, maybe you do. I know your favorite comic was Richard Pryor, but I don't know.
His favorite comic?
Yes.
Wow.
That blew me away. I had his son on the show, and I'm like, let's talk about what your dad listened to. He's like, Richard Pryor was his favorite comic. He loved the filthy shit. He loved, I'm like, that makes me so happy.
I also love that his like best friend was Rickles.
It still blows my mind a little bit.
Yeah.
Although it doesn't now, because if you see Bob Newhart live, I feel like a little bit has crossed over into his body.
Yeah.
A little bit.
Mm-hmm.
That's a long story. Seeing Bob Newhart live is a long story.
I would love to. I've never had.
I would love to have seen him in the past life. I love him. I love Bob Newhart. No crapping on Bob Newhart. And I'm glad you picked this one because there are tracks on here, like for instance the retirement party, I don't think I'd heard before. I have not heard all of the shit that's sitting here.
Yeah, it's a lot.
So I'm glad you picked one where I'm like, I bet this is a lot.
Yeah,
like
I almost
the first
picked
one.
The first
not
one, but I thought, this one, when I saw that you had that one, I was like, that might be
I'm
more
glad
fun.
You picked it, because again, I've heard that one too many
times.
Yeah,
me too. So this one I hadn't really.
It's great. So what's the first time you heard one of his albums at all? Like, was it?
I'd say when I first started doing stand-up, I started, right before that, I just kind of started consuming as much as I could.
Mm-hmm.
I really wanted to do it. I really wanted to figure it out. And I was kind of nervous. So I took maybe like a year where I was just like renting them. And
really?
And yeah, he was, I loved him from the show.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I think, so that was probably in 2014 when I was like 19, 20 years old.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was the other one, the first one.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I listened to like with the Abraham Lincoln bit, which I think is another, that's like, oh, for fuck. Me, that's like the bus one where it's like,
yeah, yeah.
This will always work. People will always get this.
Yeah. So we've been doing this show now. I've been doing this show for 7 years, and I've run into a lot of comics who, like, we're talking like well-established, brilliant comics. So there's nothing against them. I've just never heard a comedy album.
Yeah.
So that's what's interesting to me is that you actually dug in and you're like, this is important to me. I mm-hmm. need to do this research. So why was it just like, I want to absorb as much as I can? I want to, were there specific things you're looking for? Because frankly, a lot of stand-up ends up, I've got to be as comfortable as I can mm-hmm. be. But you also get the opportunity to dig into styles. Was that part of it?
Yeah, for sure. I kind of appreciate all different kind, like, you know, love Richard Pryor, love Stephen Wright. Like,
mm-hmm.
I think like each style has its own thing, and there's not really many styles I don't like.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, I think studying it and just kind of knowing what was done before you is important to me.
Yeah.
And also to me, when you are able to look at something that old that still holds up, I think that's like a lesson.
Mm-hmm.
Same with like Buster Keaton. Like I really like watching him. I'm like, why does this still work for me?
Yeah.
And kind of trying to draw little lines between those mm-hmm. and trying to find like, okay, like what are, you know, you want to be funny for your time, but it is also important to me to kind of think beyond that.
For
think,
sure.
Like, what is funny? I think kind of helps when you look over many periods of time.
Right. Well, you know, it's interesting too, because there's two ways to do very, very generalized comedy. And that's one where where you can talk about something like religion. Mm-hmm. I know we're going to keep coming back to that because it's the first thing I saw you do. So it's going to stick in my head.
Right.
So you can do something like religion and be, it can last forever potentially.
Yeah.
But you can also do it without judgment, which is that I think you do. As you say, yeah. Like I can say you're dumb, but like you're saying it in a way that is not judgmental.
Yeah, and I really, I don't actually come across that way, because I do try to not make fun of someone specifically,
sure,
just kind of like that it exists.
Yeah, I think it was clear.
Yeah,
I think, cool. I mean, obviously, people are laughing at you and paying you to do comedy. It's clear. Yes, everybody, he needs my approval. That's what we're here for. It is. But there are two ways to be very general. You can be general and boring as fuck.
Yes.
You can be general and not saying anything.
Yeah.
You can be a black people do this, white people do this kind of comic. There's also a funny way to do that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
it's
kind of threading the needle.
Yeah, better if you're of mixed heritage to make both of those jokes. But like, it's just, you know, there are ways to do these things. And Bob Newhart does general in a different way.
Yes, you know? Exactly.
And again, it's super just making shit relatable that
maybe
you haven't seen this. You haven't seen this exact thing happen, but you get the basic idea.
Yeah.
The setting makes sense.
Yeah, it's like kind
you.
Of taking a very relatable thing and putting his stamp of who his personality is on it.
Mm-hmm.
It's a perfect little way to make it timeless.
I'd like so much to dig into his brain and hard, because I want to know why he's so dark.
Yeah.
If he'd be willing to talk about his life, because if you're writing stuff like this, my guess is, and I'm projecting here, there's anxiety.
Yeah.
You know, not all comics are Tears of the Clown comics,
but
there's anxiety in there, and I want to know.
Yeah.
I want to know where that stuff comes from. Do you think you relate to any of the underlying stuff, or you just relate to how well it works and how much it makes you laugh?
Can you rephrase that?
Or? Yeah, I could probably try, because that was unclear. So do you relate more to the subtext or the text? Like, is it like, this makes me laugh and that's the first thing that sucks me and I want to figure out why it makes me laugh? Or is it more like, I'd like to dig more into their brain?
I'd say the first one. I think just off, like right off the bat, it just makes me laugh. And mm-hmm. then I kind of want to go, okay, well, why? Why mm-hmm. is this working?
I feel my question was stupid, and I'd like to retract it.
No,
I do. I think it was a dumb, stupid question, and I think you're very kind to even answer it. So,
I like the question.
Um, Man, so we've talked about your favorite track. Mm-hmm. Have you heard, so what are some other new hard albums? Let's talk about other comedy albums you've listened to or specials you've watched. I'm curious, like, what stuff you dug into when you started researching?
Well, lately I've just listened to the latest Jim Gaffigan one, which I thought was really great.
I don't think I've heard it, actually.
He's kind of another one.
He's brilliant, though.
That it's like, similar to Newhart, where I think it's going to last forever.
Mm-hmm.
Anyone can laugh at it.
Yeah.
It's not really too offensive, but he's not too bland.
Sure.
He kind of threads that needle where it's just like a little dark, little, you know, just kind of perfect. I love it. Who else is my, one of my favorites in the last maybe 10 years was John Mulaney's The Top Part.
Uh-huh. I thought
that was perfect front to back. Some old ones, trying to think of some old ones. I was thinking of maybe doing some Steve Martin.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't really, when I was delving into that stuff,
mm-hmm.
I think at first glance, I wasn't that into him.
Uh-huh.
It was like a little too silly for me or something.
Okay.
I think I watched maybe a video. It was a rental.
Okay.
And I think it was like after he had already gotten his like fame.
Okay, sure.
So he kind of comes out just 100% like goofy Steve Martin, and the audience was like eating it up.
Of course.
So I almost felt like I was like being left out of whatever was happening.
I get that. Yeah.
Like, why do they love that he's just going, oh. Then I read his book, and then so I kind of revisited after his book, and then I really started loving it.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that's like bad that I had to have him tell me what he was doing.
No.
And then I was like, I get what you're doing.
Not at all. Context is so fucking important to
this
shit. I mean, like, there's some things where I listen to where I'm like, I don't know if this is funny now.
Yeah.
But understanding the history of it, oh, that's great.
Yeah.
It's hard because it could be a little pretentious.
Yeah.
To be like, I find this old thing funny. Yeah. I know you don't get it.
Because I think for him, so much people have probably copied him and kind of gone with it. To think back, like, oh, okay, so he was kind of doing something different at the time.
Mm-hmm.
That was, everyone else was maybe more serious at the time.
Yeah.
And then he came out and was just, like, trying to be as weird and goofy as possible. And you know, playing with, like, the tension of the audience.
Mm-hmm.
And not letting them know when to laugh.
Yeah.
So that was kind of fun to look at it through a new lens and go, like, oh. And then both of his first two albums, I think, are so great. Maybe I hadn't heard those back then. It was just that one video. Or
mm-hmm.
I was like, I don't get this.
Yeah.
Who's like, why is King Tut killing it?
Well, I've had to do that too for this show. Like, when I do research, I don't always. Sometimes I listen to it just totally like mm-hmm. knowing nothing about it. And a lot of times that's where the judgment comes out.
Yeah.
So,
I've seen this.
This is just shit.
Yeah.
Sometimes it happens.
Yeah.
And sometimes there's no way to get context, especially since a lot of these are like local comedians from the 50s and 60s who didn't break out of their region.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, I'm missing something.
Yeah.
I'll try.
Yeah.
I will give you a shot, dude. But, you know, it's context is huge for this stuff. Because at least you can understand it even if you don't like it.
And like Richard Pryor to me, mm-hmm. one of my favorites, like I've listened to as many albums of his as I think I could find.
Mm-hmm.
And those are all, they still stand out. And He's someone you can study forever, I think.
Mm-hmm.
He kind of can do, I don't know, both things. Like, he can be very personal, but mm-hmm. he's also very universal. It's cool.
Yeah. Is there anything that you, I don't want to say want to improve with your stand-up, but is mm-hmm. there stuff you want to try? Like, I want to do more of this.
I would
do
love
more of that.
To tell more stories.
Mm-hmm.
I have a few stories every once in a while, and I can never really there's only like one story that I ever can do forever.
Okay.
Sometimes I'll tell a story, it just happened and it can be kind of funny. And then after a while, either maybe I lose interest or something happens with it. I would love to maybe bring in some more things that I felt like became a staple of my act.
Okay.
I could tell this story over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's kind of an easier way to not worry about feeling like you're stealing from someone or doing a joke that everyone else did. If you just, all right, this happened to me. You know, I can't be taking this from someone. I can't.
Yeah.
This isn't similar to that person because this happened to me. And although, you know, people can have similar things happen.
Yeah.
But it's more like, I don't know, a deeper well of life experience when you're like, this happened to me. Here's a story. Here's the characters in my life.
Yeah.
And here's how they bump together.
For sure.
So I'd like to do more of that.
Okay. Yeah, I do like to discovering, like, watching stand-ups go from, not that storytelling is a necessary part of it, mm-hmm. but it is kind of cool to watch somebody go from maybe a more traditional stand-up route to doing storytelling. Like, fucking John Mulaney can tell stories that, he's one of those, I mean, if somebody tells a story that ties the whole thing together, it's like, oh, fuck you. Too good. Like,
he's kind of maybe like a Bob, not that mm-hmm. he just became famous off his first set, but mm-hmm. he was like an SNL writer in like early 20s. Mm-hmm. Right? Like,
I know.
God damn it. And his albums are solid, very tight, very dark, mm-hmm. but very seemingly cute and not offensive still at the same time.
Right. Yeah. That is a hard line to walk. I am curious what's your interest in working up an audience? Like, is there a line you want to get up to where maybe not piss them off, but like just...
I'm always jealous of comics that want to do that or that like Dana Gould or uh-huh. someone who can purposely dig themselves a hole.
Yeah.
I never even want to be an inch in. Like, I don't want to lose them or fight them. I would like them to go with me wherever I want to go.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to just be like a pandering person who's like, hey, I like what you like.
Yeah, yeah.
But I also don't necessarily want to fight with them.
Mm-hmm.
I would like to push them just a little bit further than they want to go,
mm-hmm.
slowly.
Right. Yeah.
And like for me, I want to kind of get them on my side. And that's my strategy. Like, you guys like me. Now trust me. Let's go here.
Yeah.
Rather than some people do it the other way where it's like, look, I can go here. Ooh, now you guys trust me because mm-hmm. I went there and took you there,
mm-hmm.
which I respect that.
Sure.
But that's kind of not my approach. My approach is more like, hey, you like me. I'm a nice man. Come mm-hmm. in.
Right.
Let's go some weird places.
Yeah, I mean, if I've got a preference, it's definitely going to be for that. You know, I mean, as an audience member anyway, you know. And again, I respect if you've got the whatever that is to do the reverse.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, it's really cool when people can do that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm going to go so far over the line
right.
that you're going to feel kind of scared.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'll be there for you.
Mm-hmm.
And then you'll be like, okay. I trust you now.
I mean, I will say you have to work hard to recover from that for me.
Yeah.
Like you at the end, you had better basically be saying, some Bill Hicks shit.
Yeah, exactly.
Just like, hey, we're all the same thing. We're all like, by the way, everybody should do acid and here's why. Yeah. It's like that shit. I've never done acid. I never will, but that shit sucks me in. Bill Hicks blew my fucking mind.
Yeah. Another, you know? Yeah. I've listened to a bunch of his albums too.
Mm-hmm.
Very timeless as well.
So
and
good.
Almost the opposite where he is in your face. He is,
mm-hmm.
Shoving it down your throat, but it still works.
Yeah. Have you listened to any stuff that wasn't stand up? Have you listened to any like sketch or improv albums?
Every once in a while, but they don't like get me as much. Like I think Norm MacDonald once put out like a sketch album or I don't know. I love sketch comedy. Like I love Kids in the Hall, Monty Python. I grew up kind of just looking up to them.
Mm-hmm.
But for some reason, the audio, it doesn't hit me the right way.
Interesting. Okay.
Even though with stand-up, I almost think audio is better than a visual.
Mm-hmm.
But with sketch, I kind of want to just see the goofy costumes and and something about that. That's how I like to take that in.
That's interesting. I've never heard anybody say that. Because I'm the same with stand-up, but like sketch, I love audio better.
Yeah, maybe I'll try more.
Weird.
Do you have like a recommendation?
I could recommend a ton.
Okay, cool.
It would take a while, but I will tell you that the Python, I like the Python albums better than the show.
I haven't listened to those, so
I'll make a couple recommendations for you on that. And then there's some other people that you might want to listen to when you're prepared. Like the Firesign Theater, they're great.
Okay.
But they literally take, you can't be doing anything else.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's very much
focus
like, yeah, 100.
Pay attention.
Close your eyes, put on big
which
headphones.
Which is what we should do for most things.
I
always feel guilty sometimes when I'm half listening to something and going, I didn't like this.
You're right.
Like, well, I didn't even listen to it.
Exactly. 100%. Oh, man. So, why recommend this album to somebody who hasn't heard it before? Maybe they know Bob Newhart from just the shows or just movies. Maybe just Elf. What's a good reason to listen to this album?
Because it's fun and lighthearted but dark at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just kind of a very easy to listen to album.
Yeah.
Not very long.
That's true, yeah.
It's fun.
Isn't it weird, though, that they're all long tracks that are not a pain in the ass to listen
to? Yeah,
yeah. There's a lot. If a stand-up most of the time was doing 10-minute chunks at a time, I don't know if I could get through all of it.
Oh, for sure.
I want to make sure we talk about your show, so let's get into it. Let's, sure. Yeah.
Dream Corp LLC, the mm-hmm. second season is premiering October 21st. Mm-hmm. I think we have 14 episodes. So
awesome. We'll
probably go around then, maybe take a break around the holidays,
uh-huh.
come back in the new year. It's really fun. The first season was only 6 episodes. It was maybe 3 years ago it came out, so it's very excited for the second season, which I think is a really big step up, like, production-wise, and just the whole world, I think, is a lot richer, and mm-hmm. everything's connecting a lot more than the first season.
Yeah.
Really excited for that. It looks cooler. It's mm-hmm. got this kind of moody, dark look to it now.
I love it.
Yeah.
It's so good. It's on Adult Swim.
Mm-hmm.
That is one of the few shows that I've gotten a weird promo package in the mail. And
really?
Very, like, what the fuck did they just yeah. send me? They sent me a thing of pills that were mints. God. And it's just some delightful shit yeah. to freak your brain out a little yes. bit. I rarely does something stick with me that's a promo. Nice.
Good.
But that absolutely worked. And it's absolutely worth it. Man, okay, so where can people find you? Is there anything else sure. coming up that people should know about, since this will come out shortly?
They can find me on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, all under Ahmed Barucha. AhmedBharoocha. Also have a sketch group, Dead Kevin, on YouTube. We have a wealth of sketches on there, and every once in a while we throw a new one out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, those are the main things. You can listen to my album on iTunes or Spotify, Almond Badooty. It's a hard one to find. I don't know why I named it that. But
such a great yeah. title. Oh, that's so good. Yeah, I'm assuming you have the same problem I have where no one gets your name right.
Yeah. Yeah. yeah.
Okay. Everybody thinks I'm Clam. No, thanks. God damn it. Man, thank you so much for talking to me about Bob Newhart in a new way.
Awesome.
You never think you can rediscover yeah. this shit.
Thanks for having me revisit Bob Newhart myself.
For sure. I would love to have you back.
Oh, for sure.
I might pitch some weird shit for you, yeah, though. I guarantee you've never heard.
I love that.
That will be super yeah. fun. Well, I will also just tell everybody to go to lookingforwardmovie.com. That's the movie that is supposed to be out in 4 weeks. We'll see what happens. Also, adrinkinggame.com is a show I'm in every month where I drink and the audience drinks. We usually do 80s or 90s movies. I think we're going to have something in November. Half a chance it's going to be Princess Bride. And I'm going to be Wallace Shawn. Go to CelerySoundRecords.com. That's my little sketch comedy record label. And there's something I'm forgetting, but who cares? The big thing is to watch Dream Corp LLC. October 21st, Adult Swim. What time again?
I think at midnight.
At midnight.
Yeah.
I love that show. So much fun. Yes. Ahmed, thank you so much.
Thanks for having me. Again.
Thank you guys for listening. And as always, have a good thing. Comedy on Vinyl is a production of Stolen Dress Entertainment. It is produced by Mike Warden and is hosted and edited by Jason Klom. Our theme song was composed and performed by Richard Levinson. You can email us at podcast@comedyonvinyl.com. You can also send snail mail to Stolen Dress Entertainment, P.O. Box 805, Burbank, California, 91503. Subscribe to Comedy on Vinyl on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and anywhere else you can find podcasts. Give us a 5-star rating and write us a review. It helps. You can find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Comedy on Vinyl, or find everything in one place at comedyonvinyl.com. A major portion of Comedy on Vinyl has been underwritten by Stand Up Records. Please visit standuprecords.com for all your comedy needs and tune in to the new Stand Up Records channel available on the Roku, where you can also find select episodes of this podcast. Visit stolendress.com to listen to our other podcasts, watch videos, and imbibe freely of our multimedia content going back 15 plus years.